Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the sounds of a crying baby ring through an empty hospital room after a tragic passing? That story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Would absolutely love to hear it. And of course, support the program. That's what keeps us on the air. Becoming an extra podcast person is what you can do. With that, you'll get access to more than 300 bonus episodes in their entirety just for EPPs, extra podcast people, advanced episodes of the show with no ads in them. You also get our ebook and our audiobook. All the extras, all right there for you. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to become an extra podcast person. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. That's it. You're just doing well. You're doing good. You're doing wonderful.
That's what I was going to say. Is that fair?
You don't have to. I mean, you can be honest. You can.
I'm not doing well. My horse is sick. It's at the vet. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
The place where we're keeping her, the lady is mean to me all the time. Mm-hmm. So she was mean to me about my horse possibly exposing all the other horses, which I had no idea my horse was even sick when she was delivered. So mm-hmm. I'm just kind of feeling like a failure today. So that's how I really am.
Well, I'm glad you could be. That's when I ask how you are, just open up. Because nobody does it. Everybody just does the, I'm great. I'm doing good.
I know. I just don't want to be a source of downer in this wonderful time that we live in right now, but that's where my mind is.
Well, it's not a fun thing when, with anything, when you're like waiting to find something out, like what's going on, like especially a doctor visit, whether it be a person or an animal or anything, when you're in that kind of waiting zone of like, well, what's going on? It's the anxiety.
Yeah.
That sucks. So, well, there you go.
I'm
glad you could be open and honest with us.
You pried it out of me.
Anything else you'd like to say?
No. Okay. No, I think I did it.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Let's go to our first letter today. It said the place was an old building that was used for psychotherapy, and the doctors moved to a new building and rented the place from my boss to open their general and vascular ultrasound clinic. This is in the Palo Verde area of California back in the late 80s. I was living in California at the time. We had many undocumented immigrants, and they used to pay cash for their ultrasound services. One day I was working alone as the second sonographer was away. An old lady came with her daughter to check for her daughter's pregnancy to see the child. And at that time, we didn't have 3D or 4D image, but we can show them the baby and give them Polaroid pictures on thermal prints. The patient was sent by a doctor to check for viability. Baby was 14 weeks at the time. While I was doing the ultrasounds, canning the baby and had a very faint heart, and his heartbeats were less than 50 beats per minute. There was lots of amniotic fluid. By the time I did the scan and all other measurements, the baby's heart had stopped completely and went to fetal demise. It's very rare to happen while I actually do the ultrasound, and this is the only case I had in my scanning career that the baby's heart stopped at the end of the exam. So I documented the heartbeats on Doppler M mode and put it on a VHS video to show them there was no heartbeat. The patient was sad and started crying along with the grandmother. The husband was supportive and understanding, and he took them back to the doctor's clinic nearby. Later in the day, the grandmother died on that same day and night. I was informed by our clerks who have connections with that family. I was very saddened by the news. 1 week later, while I was opening the clinic early in the morning, I started feeling uneasy. I felt someone watching me, especially when I go to the ultrasound room. When I move, I go to the other rooms. I feel okay. I thought it could be anxiety or fear or EMF effects that can do this. But the ultrasound machines are the same, and the rooms are the same, and there were no extra wiring or extra machines in them. A few days later, I heard a crying sound that was the same crying the grandmother gave while she was in the ultrasound room, which really scared me. Although I've been through a lot of paranormal incidents in my life, the sound of crying and sadness makes me so sad. And I remember I asked and asked, turning my face to a different direction as I couldn't see the entity. I said, "How can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you?" But all I felt is a gush of wind from the room back to the end of the clinic where the window was towards the back yard in the desert. I used to tell the clerk about this, so she was Catholic and she believes in spirits, so we used to pray around the rooms when we didn't have patients. A few weeks later, the sound came back again when I was alone and just opened the clinic that day very early. I felt the presence in the chair where the grandmother was sitting watching the baby scan. I remembered that I had that VHS with me in that time, so I put it back and only played back the part where the baby had life and increased the sound volume so I can hear some heartbeats. I started saying, "Is this what you want to see? Is this the baby? I'm sorry for both of you. I really was very sad with tears in my eyes." I told the spirit to trust in God, that if you're a Catholic with faith, please trust that God will take care of her. I felt the room a bit lighter and the spirit moved to the back of the clinic. I told Angela, our clerk, to say what I said in English, but in Spanish so the spirit understands. She also called one of her relatives who did some cleansing to the place, as we didn't want to scare the patients or tell the manager who lives close by in town. After the cleansing, everything settled down. I've asked the clerk why we do not go to the grandmother's grave and do some prayers, but she said that her body was taken back to Mexico and buried near her relatives. I used to live in Idaho, Indio, California, back in 87, 88. When I moved to my new apartment in the new compound close to the desert, I experienced the most horrific demonic haunting that I've ever encountered. It was all started by haunting dreams just a few days after I moved into the new apartment. I don't drink, smoke, or take any drugs or alcohol. I'm in the medical field. I had no anxiety or stress. Things started to get worse as I can see shadows moving in the apartment, watching the window, pulling my bed sheet, and heavy, intense feelings of being watched. Sounds of strange language will stop as soon as I enter the room. One night, I was asleep and I woke up to drink a glass of water and I saw this figure. To me, it seemed like a demonic figure standing in my bedroom. It moved so fast towards me and pushed me right to the bed and started to talk in a very strange language that I've never heard before. And I know Hebrew, Arabic, Malay, Greek, and even Aramaic. But the language was so strange, and the entirety is about 3 feet long with no neck, ugly looking hairy face, very sharp teeth. The very fat, hairy body, and it seemed it had a tail. It had four fingers, only like claws, and his eyes were cat-like. It scared the living crap out of me. I was so terrified I couldn't believe what I saw. I managed to gather my courage and scream hard the Lord's name and pray, and every time I prayed I felt it was getting weak until I shouted out the prayers. The entity left the room floating more than walking. I ran and left the place and told the area manager what I just saw, and it was way after midnight. The manager knew me, and he knew that I didn't do drugs or drink. He believed me and let me change my apartment the day before he let me stay overnight in the guest room, so I was so afraid to go back alone. The next day I managed to move, and we brought a priest to bless the apartments. I wondered if that was related to what I saw in the clinic somehow, if I got something that followed me to my apartment. The clinic was closed as the other sonographer went to work with the hospital, and I took a job in British Columbia, Canada.
I'm assuming everything stopped after she took the new job in Canada,
mm-hmm.
but that's so scary when you have to move for a job and then you find out, oh, where you're staying is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And not only haunted, but haunted by a demonic presence.
Do you think the clinic has anything to do with the house, or do you think it all just kind of randomly worked out that she had these haunting experiences two different places, two different times?
Probably two different places, two different times. I mean, because the story about the grandmother that passed away after seeing the fetus pass away,
mm-hmm.
on, you know, being yeah. right there, seeing that almost live, you yeah. know, I feel like that's completely separate than the demonic issue that happened mm-hmm. later. But it's interesting. It makes you wonder if, you know, having one paranormal experience kind of heightens your ability to have another one there pretty soon after.
Also, what I'm wondering about is the sensitivity level of the individual of, are they able to pick up on these things mm-hmm. more than others? And that's why she could sense or hear that crying of the grandmother when maybe others couldn't. Is she more of a sensitive than she realizes? And she happened to maybe in two different locations that had a lot of activity going on in them.
That could be. I think sometimes when you're a sensitive, once it kind of gets stirred up, it's almost like when you're predisposed to having like bronchitis, once you get it stirred up, you know, you're more likely to have reoccurring bouts of it. I kind of feel like
mm-hmm.
this may be the case where once that kind of got stirred up, it's just going to take a little while for it to calm down.
It just has to settle almost. Mm-hmm. It's like lemonade. Here's my happy summertime reference.
Yeah.
You got a clear pitcher of lemonade. I'm not talking the country time.
Okay.
I'm talking you have sugar and water and lemons and all of that, and you stir it up. And then you put it in the fridge, and after a while, you know, you can kind of see how it separated out a little bit.
Sure.
And then, but when you're stirring it with that stick, as long as that stick is going, it's going to be kind of equal. And even when you take it out, it's still going to be kind of equal, but eventually that stick will be gone and it'll all kind of settle down by itself. But just because the stick is gone doesn't mean that it's not still, you know, stirred up.
Right.
But when you take that out of there, it takes some time sometimes. I think that's why sometimes people have their sensitive abilities. They question if they are sensitive, where for some reason it'll spike up and then just really not be there. But then somehow it'll spike back up again. And almost like it takes a certain thing to get it back up to a certain awareness level to be able to pick up on things for a period of time. And then it all kind of settles down a little bit. It's like a muscle, you know,
mm-hmm.
The more you exercise it, the more you're going to be aware of it.
Right.
And I think some folks really, when it's been exercised, realized, oh, gosh, this is an interesting ability. I think I might like this or something of that nature. And they continue to exercise it over and over, and it never really goes away because they keep almost searching it out.
And then the rest of us are trying to, like, never move that muscle ever.
Exactly.
Just hoping it atrophies and goes away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's how this works quite often. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, it was July of 1984 when I lived in my apartment house. To date, this was the most haunting I have had in one period. I lived in a town in an apartment house. Carmen and her husband Bill lived upstairs. They were my landlord's parents. They were in their 80s. Carmen was healthy and could still drive her on Sunday mornings, and Bill was mostly blind and somewhat deaf. She was mostly taking care of him in their old age. They seemed to like me and saw me as protection for them, with me being downstairs. One July day, I came home to find that she had died on the way to the hospital during a heart attack. This left Bill all alone and stayed living there for 3 months, with assisted living helping him at times during the day. This was when I got visitors in the basement, with many occurrences. But the most predominant ones were what followed for the next 6 months. The first one happened one night when I was in bed and trying to fall asleep. I jumped after hearing a loud thump on top of my dresser next to me. It sounded like a small firecracker. It happened again a minute later. Frightened at this point, I turned on the light and stared at my dresser to hear it go off again. And not seeing anything, I was prepared to flee the apartment when it stopped, and I never heard it again. The second was a Saturday night when I was getting ready to go out for the evening. I had the stereo on and was shaving when the phone rang, so I turned the volume down to answer the phone and then continued to shave in the bathroom when I heard this heavy crash in the living room. I rushed out to see my large painting lying on the floor. I finished my call and wanted to see where the hook fell off. That's when I was blown away to see that all the hooks were intact, both on the wall and the picture. The hooks were at least an inch and a half apart, meaning that the picture had to raise and over those hooks to fall. How could that be done? Not vibration from volume, as I turned it very down low. The next event was one Saturday morning. I got up and left early to help my dad clean his garage. Came home around 6 that night looking at my mail. My living room cuckoo clock went off. When I looked, it said 2 o'clock. I went to change my clothes and noticed my bedroom read 3:15. I then ran to my office, looked at that clock, and it read 12:25. All different times, and they were all correct when I left that morning. I then wondered if the landlord was here messing with the electrical or our power was out for a while. So I went up to ask Bill, and he said no one was here all day. There was no interruption of the electrical, nor was anybody here. My door was locked. I had fresh batteries to keep the time in the clocks in my office and bedroom. Someone had to change them. I could not explain this. After 3 months, Bill was moved to a rest home and was vacant upstairs. I know this, for I went up to look at it. I was considering moving up there. There was not a stitch of furniture in the place. It was nights later when I was sleeping when the biggest fright occurred. I was sleeping and woke up to noise upstairs. This did not alarm me, as I was used to hearing their TV blaring the 700 Club that aired at that time on NBC. I got used to it for all the days I slept in the bedroom below their living room. As usual, I just turned over to get back to sleep when reality kicked in and made me jump out of bed. There was no one around or living upstairs. I turned the light and paced the floor, still hearing the TV above me. The hairs on my neck stood up. I had to make sure I was not dreaming and kept pinching myself, as I knew that everyone was going to say I was just dreaming. I was fully awake and experiencing this haunt. It was incredible. I remember saying to myself that this type of stuff happens to other people. It was my first traumatic paranormal experience. I then heard the program finishing, and like usual, I heard the tiny light footsteps of the frail old Carmen walking the floor and turning off the TV. That's not there. Then I heard something I never heard before, and that was rocking of a rocking chair. This was new to me. Then I had to check it out and walked upstairs to find it was dark and the door to the window. I turned the handle. It was locked. Then walked outside to check the front door and windows. Fresh snow was falling, and I saw no entry footprints anywhere. I went back downstairs and never heard a thing the rest of the night. And yes, I did stay. It was then I was wondering if the hauntings were of Carmen. Then the kicker happened. I have a friend that came over after we went to see a movie. He was going to stay for an hour, but after 5 minutes, he looked upset and left abruptly. I never spoke of this to him or anyone for a long time. And after a year it came up, I told him about the story of it happening at my house. He then told me of the night he was over and why he left. He confided in me as a religious person that he can sense the presence of the dead in different places. He had been there before but never had the feeling. That night he said, I felt a presence in your bedroom, and not that it was evil, it was just that it made him feel uncomfortable. That is when our stories jived. I felt that I had my proof and it just was not me. And going back to after the TV experience, it was soon after that I had noticed that nothing more was happening, and perhaps the haunting stopped. Then I got the news that Bill had died a few weeks earlier. I then put it all together. I found out that they had met when they were young kids and stayed together all these years. She was not leaving without Bill. And since he could not see or hear very well, she was trying to communicate with me. All things that happened were harmless and kind of prankish, so I had to conclude this as a love story. When Bill died, they left together for the light and left the house. I lived there many more years without an incident, and my friend was back over with a clear feeling that the house is normal. All is well in this story of love.
So she was just playing pranks just to kind of almost let Bill know she was still around.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he died, they both left together.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. And you know, the hauntings didn't really happen before Carmen passed away. Mm-hmm. So I would agree with the story. I mean, that's probably what happened.
I was going to wonder if when someone dies, you know, sometimes we hear about like attachments and stuff, and sometimes it's really evident, like there's something attached to me. But sometimes do we just end up getting attachments that are not necessarily negative and we don't really even know about them, but they're there to help and such?
Maybe.
And they're around and whatnot. But when you die, are they like, oh, well, you know, it's like a puppy and suddenly their leader is gone or the person they follow around is no longer there. And they're like, well, I'm going to wander around this area for a little bit. And then if you're sensitive and happen to be in that area, you may end up picking up on them.
Sure.
It's like, well, these were the, you know, kind of the people that were following that person, but now they're gone. So where do they go? I'm wondering if that is an occurrence or something that happens sometimes when people die. We automatically assume, oh, it's that dead person. But could it also be their attachments that are now just kind of free to go find new people to attach to?
Almost like a lost little kid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to hold your hand until we find my mom.
That or just, I almost think of it more like golden retrievers.
Okay.
Where it's not even so much like, go help me find my mom. It's just more like, I like you. You feed me, you know, because and feeding in this essence would be more so you can sense me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hang out here.
Sure.
More like, and it's not necessarily a negative thing. It's just I only like to gravitate toward people who can sense me or I can be of use for, and this will work out well.
Okay.
I wonder if that's what sometimes happens.
That could be.
So another way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But I do think at the end they did get together and move on. But I also was wondering at the beginning when she first died, if that's what the ghosts suddenly were not necessarily her or, I mean, him, he was still alive, but more so something like that. The attachments that were just kind of like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah.
So I don't know, something to think about. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And of course, if you want to support our show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. You just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to become an extra podcast person, get all the bonus content, and help support the program and keep us on the air. Let's go to our caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Mary. I'm from Philippines, and I'm actually using an application just to call you guys. And you can see the number. It's gonna be from Ohio, I think, but I'm from Philippines, so sorry about that. But currently working here in Saudi Arabia, I've been listening to your podcast. Came upon to your podcast while I was looking for ghosts and anything paranormal podcasts on Google Podcasts. I was actually subscribed to one of the other podcasts that I listened to, then it came upon your podcast, and then I got addicted, I guess. So basically, I just want to share about a story that I had before. It's going to be a short story. They're kind of connected. So being a kid, there was this entity in our house growing up. It was actually, there was not just one. But let's talk about this white lady that we always encounter. She's not specifically from living in our house or staying in our house, but she's coming from the other house at the back of our house, if you get what I mean. So there's a connecting yard at the back before, and there's this big avocado tree. And then our nanny, or my nanny before, always see this girl or lady, the white lady, and she always tells my mom that, hey, I actually saw a girl in white with long black hair crossing. Is there anyone in the other house? So my mom was just like, no, it's just an old man, an old guy there living alone without his wife and kids. So basically, my nanny that time always sees that. And to my surprise, all of the nannies they had, they all saw this wet lady. So fast forward, it was November, it's Halloween, it's October 31st, going November. And I love watching paranormal stuff since it's been coming up on the TV every time within this season. So for this one, I was watching, I remembered that I was watching a ghost documentary, Filipino documentary, and then I saw someone cross our kitchen. In our kitchen, there's the door, the back door from the towards the yard to the other, to the other house. And then I just fell it over. It's just, it's actually temporarily closed that time, so no one could cross. And I didn't know this girl. Obviously, she's a stranger. So I just saw this girl crossing and walking slowly, but you can't see her feet, at a white dress. And then she crossed, like, she's just there. Then she went away. I felt my hair from the back all had goosebumps. It stood up. Oh, I left the TV on, ran up to my mother, and just like, there is a woman. And then my grandmother, I remember she was joking me that, see, that's what you get from watching those documentaries at this time. But we remember that my mom had this, you know, what do I call this? Fire pit or the grass. They set the grass on fire to like kill the dead leaves and all at the back of the at the yard. So maybe she said that the woman I saw actually was disturbed. That's why she was walking like trotting. And then after a few years later, I had my friend over at my room, at my house rather, and we're at my room. And at my room, there's another door to going to the rooftop because what do we call this? The clothes rack there or something that we hang the clothes outside. So basically, I was fixing her hair, doing girly stuff. And then she said, hey, is auntie doing laundry? Is she drying the clothes? I'm like, no, she's not. She is downstairs. And then when the moment I told her that, she's pretty skeptical about what I said. And she's pretty sure that my mom was actually whom she saw. She said she's wearing dress, but she can't see the feet. And then as soon as I told her that, no, I'm sure that my mom is downstairs, my mom shouted and peeked upon us and she said, girls, let's eat. And she went white as hell. So that's just my story. And a few of my other classmates from university actually saw the girl when we did the thesis. And this guy that I'm group with, he asked me, I didn't tell anyone about it, but he asked me after he took a bath on my shower, he asked me like, is there something paranormal, like a girl, a white lady? And I told her why. I mean, I told him why. And then he was like, she's actually peeking while I'm showering at the window. So, yeah, that's it. And actually, I think they're still existing. A lot of paranormal activities happen at our home. And, yep, that's it. I'll be calling next time for another few stories. So, yeah, bye.
I think when we get stories from the Philippines, it's hard to know if it really revolves around the family or just that the fact that it seems like to me the Philippines are extremely haunted because there's so much history there. I mean, there's a lot of history, a lot of places, but we get so many stories from the Philippines that I just wonder, it's like, okay, is it because this family is sensitive or is it just because of where they are?
Is it something to do with the belief system, though, too? I mean, it seems to be more widely accepted as fact.
Yes.
And not so much mystery of, like, do ghosts exist? It's like they're all, like in the United States, I feel like for the most part, society operates on the level of, do ghosts exist? There's plenty that believe, solidly.
But it's still a question.
Yeah, but I feel like in some areas of the world, and possibly the Philippines too, they're already at the place of ghosts exist. What are they?
Yeah.
or who are they?
Or do you have one?
Which is kind of where our show operates. Mm-hmm. We don't operate from the, like, is this really a ghost? I mean, of course, if somebody's like, what's going on? We try and narrow down the options, but we're not like debating whether or not it's a real thing or not.
And we're not debating whether or not that experience happened to that person. We do sometimes try and weed out if it's something, that can be explained. But most of the time, it is what it is. It's a paranormal experience.
Exactly. So I wonder if you have a culture, a society that already operates on the we believe in you, if that then sparks more activity.
I would think so, because it's almost like if I were a ghost, I'd feel more accepted there.
Yeah, you really would.
I mean,
and that's kind of going back to the whole simplistic look of it, but it's true of ghosts were people too in many cases.
Yes.
And this is where we overlook so many things so many times with ghost stuff is assigning like superpowers to things, almost like they're, you know, superheroes. It's like, No, it's just they're over there now.
Yeah.
And yes, some, certainly can do some pretty cool shit, but it's still kind of like, I think we overthink it sometimes and it's a lot simpler than we would otherwise make it out to be.
Right.
So something to think about. Thank you for sharing that story with us. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get on there and keep us on the air, get all the bonus content. It's only $5 a month. That's what keeps our show alive. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.